This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, it's Wednesday, and yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Before we dive into parenting, I just have to reflect on two things that happened. First of all, yes, we live in a world where Donald Trump will be president for a second time. So I have to acknowledge that fact, and I'm slightly sad about it. It's not a political show, so I don't want to discuss it. I just wanted to voice my opinion. Then secondly, I ran a marathon for the second time this weekend. I'm just looking for the opportunity to tell people about it. So there we go. This is my show after all, so you know I've been training for it. So I just wanted to acknowledge that fact that it happened. It was hard, but somehow, because it was extra hard, I feel so much more accomplished and so much more like, oh, wow, I did it. It's so epic. Anyway, so that's, I think, a bit like parenting. Is that the harder it becomes, more accomplished maybe we feel about it. I don't know. But anyway, today's topic, we are talking a bit about play and why play is important. And I mean, in some ways, I do have to say it's the irony of it is also not lost on me, is the fact that we actually have to talk about children playing and the importance of it and why it is important. And it's like, I feel like, isn't it? I mean, that's why I'm running, because I like it. So I'm, in essence, that's my playing. So I feel like as human beings, we're actually built to play and wanting to do things that are fun. That for me, if I think play, I'm thinking I want to have fun and do things that I enjoy doing. And I mean, isn't that normal for children just to naturally do that? How is it that we actually have to consciously think about this? Is it in some ways us as adults that are again overthinking and taking the joy out of things, and that we're overthinking the situation? I don't know. That's why I'm talking about this issue, because it is necessary. I mean, why do I not run all the time? Because I also have to work, I have to take care of my children, I also have to do other things. So I always say it's not difficult to train for a marathon, it's doing the rest of life that's the difficult part. But, and I mean, isn't that the same then for children? I think there's so many distractions. If I just look at my own children, and then they're 10, almost 11, and 13, how busy their schedules. I mean, my daughter's finishing ballet. She's doing her RAD exam very soon. And I'm like, I'm actually so looking forward to it, because it's just finally she's done with that a little bit and we can just relax. And they're so busy. And maybe that's why we have to talk about playing and why playing is important, because apparently our children are being distracted from doing this. And it's important that they are doing this. But again, like I said, in the end of the day, let's talk about this with the experts. So today, my guest is Lizette van Heistie, and she's the founder of Practical, one of the founders, joining me today. Hey, Lizette, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. I'm excited to talk about this. But again, I'm a little bit like, why? Why do we have to talk about it? But maybe that's also, maybe we should just think about it a little bit. What is considered play? For me, like I said, I feel like play is something that you enjoy. I don't know. Is it? What is considered play?
Well, it's actually quite an important thing to be able to a certain degree define something if you want to study it, you know. So play is important. It's one of the human rights of children. To be able to study it, we have to know what we're studying, and it's quite difficult. So experts have basically concluded that play cannot be defined, because children enjoy playing in many contrasting ways. And one type of play, like free play, for instance, have attributes that directly contradict the attributes of another type of play, like organized sports. So in free play, there's no preconceived goal. People make it up as they go along. It's initiated by children. And exactly the opposite of that happens in an organized sport. but both of them are play. So how do you define it then? See, that's the problem.
Yeah, so, I'm not so far off when I'm saying us is like an expert in play and we have to study play. It's like, is are we as adults ruining it?
Well, it's a thing, you know, because people get very heated about this. You know, it's quite amusing sometimes to read the articles written by academics and how they take each other on about, you know, you can't say that my study field isn't important and yours are more important, that type of thing. So they've now concluded that they're going to be viewing play as being on a continuum in terms of how involved an adult is in the experience and whether or not there's a preconceived outcome. So the basic premise is that there are many, many types of play. Something is play when it looks like play and it feels like play. That everybody agrees on. And adults also need to play. We never outgrow it, but it does have a specific function in the world of little children. And we need to look at it very inclusively. So there are many types of play that are fundamentally different for good reason, because each one makes a special contribution to a child's development and they all complement each other. And that is the key.
No, and I mean, I love, again, the irony of this conversation is a little bit funny that we're talking seriously about something that's supposedly fun. And apparently, if it smells like play, it looks like play, it is play. And touches in it. I love it. If you want to be part of the conversation, as always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. Even if it's sending me a WhatsApp to congratulate me on playing really well over the weekend. That is odd. and it would be appreciated in all honesty. See, I want to ride this wave of being happy about it, if you haven't noticed. So please, if you have questions also for Lizette about play, what you find, I mean, maybe you're a grandparent and you know that your children, you know, we had a very different life, I feel, when I was younger. And, you know, you went out and you only had to be home when this, you know, street lights go on type of thing, situation. And that's not the case anymore. But, I mean, maybe you can say that was what it was like for you as a child, what it was like for your children, maybe for your grandchildren. Share with us a little bit of that. And, of course, like I said, if you have questions about it, please also share that with us. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. Or you can just, if you have the app, you can go through the app and you can just WhatsApp us and send us your questions or comments about this topic, what you enjoy about play, what you see as play maybe as well. I mean, again, if it smells like play, if it looks like play, it is play. If you're wondering if it's play, maybe it is play. I like that I can say play so many times without getting stuck. It's really entertaining. But yes, I mean, my kids these days, and I mean, maybe we'll get into that conversation as well. I also remember like holidays spending a lot of time outside, but also a lot of times playing games like video games with my family and with my brothers. And my children also have a good combination of that. So maybe we can get into that conversation as well a little bit. Because I think, is that also play? That's now the other question, Lizette. I mean, I'm not sure we should talk about this just yet because we're going to have to go to an ad break just now. But it is a very interesting topic. So if you have any comments on this, please do send it through.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and more importantly, the fun part of parenting. Oh, I think it's fun. Apparently, we have to take it a little bit more seriously. but we're talking about the importance of play. And again, Lizette, my expert guest joining me today is one of the founders of the Practica system, and this is Lizette van Huysteen joining me. Lizette, I'm now making fun about the fact that we are, you know, maybe taking it a little bit too seriously as adults and trying to analyze it a little bit too much. But I mean, I think that's the essence of it. It's not to not make it fun anymore, but rather to be consciously aware, I guess, of how important it is. And I mean, I can hear, I mean, why are you passionate about, you know, practica and the whole play situation? I mean, there must be a reason for it.
Yeah, practica is a play-based system. So it's important for us to understand as much as we possibly can about the way play functions and why it's important. But the important thing, I think, is for us to understand that play is absolutely crucial in the development of children. And I need to, I think, just give you some perspective on that. And that will help you to understand why it is such a serious topic, actually. The thing is, as adults, when we learn something, we can motivate and self-motivate ourselves. We can use our logical brain to decide to study. And we can, as a result, be able to make decisions about play, not about learning. But in contrast to that, babies and toddlers have to actually learn much more than we do in the world. You know, I mean, we don't learn as adults nearly as much as they learn in the first years of their lives.
Yeah, but I mean, they say like the first 2 years of a human life is the most brain connections that happen and the most learning. I mean, you can also just think if for yourself, like everything around you is brand new. So there's so much that happens in that first 2 years.
So imagine learning language, for instance, a whole language, you know.
It's crazy.
But the problem is now that children don't have the brain wiring to be able to study. They don't have the brain wiring yet to be able to motivate themselves to learn.
Yes.
That's a big problem. So if nature didn't solve that problem, the human race would not survive.
Yeah.
And so the solution to this problem is play, and specifically playfulness, to be in a playful state. Because when a child is in a playful state, they become exceptionally curious and observant, willing to experience and repeat all kinds of experiences. So the main reason why children need to absolutely play and play in various ways is for them to repeat experiences that prepare them for life and help them to learn. So if they don't play enough and they don't have enough of various play experiences, they miss out big time on brain development. And one of the things that was so convicting to me was the German philosopher Karl Kraus that said that childhood exists partly because it is necessary to play. The child does not play because he is young. He is young for an extended period because he has to play.
Ah, I like that a lot. And I mean, again, like I said, it's actually funny that we have to talk about this topic because you mentioned it. I think we're built to, children are built to play and wanting, and they're curious and wanting to know more and do more and things like that. And we obviously need to create the circumstances for it. But you also mentioned like that there's different kinds of play. Why is different types of play important? And I mean, how are you going to make sure that your child is kind of exposed to these kind of different types of play?
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's the reason why play is being studied mainly, is so that we can make sure that we create the optimal play environment for children. And you can talk about this from different perspectives, but the most practical way to look at it is to look at the functions of play. In other words, if your child would have all the different play experiences that are important, what would the functions of these experiences be? What do these experiences do for the child? Because if you understand that, then you can look at all of this much more intentionally and you can make intentional decisions. If you understand what you're trying to achieve,
yes,
the why behind it. So it's the functions of play, those are very important.
But what do you mean by that? What is the functions then of play?
So there are basically eight functions that have been identified, the eight major ones. And if you want to, I can maybe just quickly well, it's never quick, but I can.
Yeah, let's start. Let's talk about these functions.
Okay, all right. So the very first, and from the therapist's perspective, especially occupational therapists, they would also say the most important function is for children to have the movement experiences that they need. So, you know, as children play, they develop physically. They build gross motor and fine motor skills. Their balance develop, their coordination develop. But they also make important discoveries as they physically move around that are crucial for developing their perceptual skills. So they develop body awareness.
Yes.
And temporal awareness. Now, that is something that most people think, oh, it's trivial. It's just understanding tempo. But if you Google it, the whole thing, it's like incredibly important to develop temporal awareness. And that starts in physical experience. And they also need to develop an awareness of space. You know, where is my body in relation to objects around me? Where is the one object in relation to another object? Direction and position, as I said. So all of these things, and also pressure, you know, how to exert pressure, just the right amount of pressure so that you can use a pencil and exert the right amounts of pressure. But, you know, these are
all... So that you can pet an animal without hurting them. I can remember that from my own children, that when they were petting, it was more like smacking the dog than anything. So yeah. they literally had to learn to sachis.
Gentle.
Yes.
They also learn through experience how to filter sensory information. So all the different information that reaches their brain from all the different senses, they have to filter out background information, and that also develops through maturation, but also through experience. And they'll have to learn to coordinate the left and right sides of their body, because our brains have two hemispheres that learn to need to talk to each other and communicate. And they need to be able to move their arm, leg, and eye movements over the midline of their body so that they can effectively use their arm, leg, and eyes on the other side of their body. Now, this sounds all very technical. It's called crossing the midline.
You know, I remember my son had issues because he... And I mean, I actually spoke to someone about it yesterday, is that my son, he was one of those that actually struggled a little bit with crawling initially. He kind of didn't crawl for a very long time and just went into walking. And then they always say it's not so great. And your child, and my child actually did have issues with midline crossing later. We sorted it out with occupational therapy and everything, but it needed to be sorted out. Whereas maybe if I played with him in the right way, it would have been better. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, and that's why the practical program was conceived, is that when a child goes to a therapist, what do they do to help them? They play games. They play games with them. So the whole idea of the practical program is not to at all take the place of therapy. But it's just to tell people, you know, if you're going to play with your child anyway, why not play these games? Why not? Let's tell you what those games are. Let's give you like a sneak preview of what your child is going to develop, and then give you some ideas for games that you can play to support their development. So it's all about play, and even therapy is about play.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're talking about play and the importance of play in development. And my guest today is Lizette Van Huysteen, and she's the founder, or one of the founders, of the Practica system, play system that you can buy to help you to play with your children or guide you. It sounds really strange. But yes, if you've just joined me, don't despair if you've missed the show. Remember that this show and all of my shows are actually available as a podcast afterwards. So you can access it on highfm.com. If you have any questions for me or my guests, please do feel free to WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. We would love to answer or hear about your own experience with regards to play. I mean, I've shared a couple of things with my own children. I mean, I don't feel it was lack of playing. I mean, I've never had a problem with those type of things. But in the end, I mean, you were now talking. I mean, I don't even think you finished, and we couldn't get to the rest of the 8 functions of play. But I mean, it's really like, I mean, that I feel like that's a lot of pressure. Of like, if you're thinking about like, oh, you have to think of these 8 different things that you have to include in the play. Does it just happen naturally, or is there ways that we as parents can include this?
Well, it doesn't happen naturally. If children have time and space and the freedom to play, and also, you know, nowadays children don't have contact with other children as they used to in extended families. And like you say, you know, you went out of the house and you were able to play with children of different ages that inspired you to learn different skills. And you were able to engage in ways that children nowadays, when they're caught up in front of a screen, don't have the opportunity to engage in. We can see the results of not having playful experiences by what happened as a result of you know, COVID, and children being locked up with screens for extended periods of time. So it is important. I don't know, shall I continue maybe with some?
Yes, with the functions. Let me hear all the other functions.
How many minutes do we still have?
Lots, enough. Go for it.
Oh, good. Great. Okay, so the second function of play is to help children to explore and discover how the world works. And for that, they have to have things to explore and things to discover. So, but it's interesting that Jean Piaget, he described how young children instinctively experiment to discover for themselves how the laws of nature work. So according to him, the urge to play inspires children to repeat various play schemas or play patterns. This is in young children, like up to the age of 4 or 5, specifically toddlers. You see that across all cultures, they tend to engage with the physical world in ways that are unique to little children, but universal to all children.
Well, I mean, even when I travel, I always say to people, I love traveling with my children because they see everything in such a different way than what we do.
Yeah,
it's wonderful to see the world through the eyes of a little child.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting when you travel the world. I was an exchange student and in a different culture, and across all cultures, you'll see children putting items in a bag, a container, and a cart to transport them. And Jean Piaget calls this the transporting schema. So it's a way that they engage with things to see how these things conduct themselves in the world, you know, yes, of nature. They will change something like paint or clay or mud from one form to another. That's a transforming schema.
Yeah.
So they would move objects or their own bodies at an angle, like when they kick a ball or they throw things. And that's trajectory schemas. They rotate or spin their body or objects to see what happens. They cover objects or themselves, or they enclose themselves. That's why they like to build forts and play in tents. Across all cultures, children do this. It's so precious. You know, these play patterns also explain why children sometimes like to hang upside down so that they can look at the world from a new perspective. It's like an experiment for them.
I like that so much.
They like to connect things. You know, that's why across all cultures, children like to play with construction sets. They like to take things apart. They specifically like to arrange things, like you would see children line things up.
Yes.
And to organize loose items in different ways. So these are just 8 of the schemas, but there are many different ones. And it's very interesting if parents maybe want to Google play schemas, S-C-H-E-M-A-S. Schemas, many articles written on this, and it just helps to experience, you know, if you're at home with a child or you have a nanny helping you out with your child, it's so much more fun when you can see these things. You say, oh, look at that, that's a play schema. Oh, look at that. And it's more fun for you as well, and then you can encourage children and give them things that they can actually experiment with.
Yes, but what do you feel is like ways that parents can practically do things at home? What would you say is like, how can you encourage play?
Well, firstly, I think it helps a lot not to pack play things away. You know, so if a child has the opportunity to have a special corner where they can experiment with things that are available to them and not just put everything in a big play basket and mix everything up. you know, so that you have like a container that contains blocks and a container that has construction pieces and a container that has whatever, you know, different clothes that they can dress up in. And things need to be organized. They have to be able to reach it at their own pace, play with it when they feel like it. But we need to demonstrate to them how to use these things by actually playing with them from time to time. And engaging with them, having special time where they take the lead, but you guide their play by making suggestions. So that's maybe another topic that we can have at another time, is just to talk about how parents can have special time with their children and how they can play with their children.
No, I mean, earlier you also mentioned about like children are not playing with other children so much anymore. But I mean, in essence, I mean, I know, like, I kept on purpose my children at home until around 18 months, they only went to school. Just because, I mean, these days you can, and people often don't have the choice that they have to send their babies to a play group and whatever. But my question is just saying, how do you encourage children to play with other children if you want to keep them at home because you don't want them to get sick at school?
Oh, it's such a good question. Thank you for asking this question. Okay, so real social play really doesn't develop before the age of 33 months.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about it.
But let me explain, because this is like a very blunt statement to make and not explain.
Yes.
All right, okay, so children only become aware of other children at the age of 18 months in the way that they look at other children as, you know, being even interested in them. Then as people, as children. No. And then from there on, their main source of social development and learning how to play and engage with people are still the key adults in their lives. That's where they learn the basic skills. So they will observe other children and they might play next to them, but they won't play with them.
Yes.
So and then they develop their skills and practice what they've learned with the key persons in their life, the key adults. And by the age of 33 months, you'll notice that children will talk about, they habitually say things like, he doesn't want to be my friend. He's my friend. They use the word friend.
Friend, yes.
That's when you know that they've now developed a social interest. And that's when children now can go to school and, you know, they actually need to, or at least have play dates or have time with other children so that they can learn to pretend, fantasize and you know, communicate and learn all kinds of things that we're going to get to now.
Okay.
In this type of play where it's social play.
Okay.
But they still play on their own.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to a very strong end. And there's been a really nice show talking about play and also the importance of taking play a little bit more seriously and thinking about it a little bit more. And I've learned quite a lot about the different kinds of play and also just understanding the different functions and what you're trying to teach your child. I think it helps you to understand how you can incorporate that as well in the activities. And an important also highlighting, obviously, the importance of that play requires our assistance, especially when babies are young or children are young, that we have to spend time with our children on the floor, also playing and showing them how play needs to happen. And the importance of that and making time for that. It's been so lovely chatting with my guest today, who's one of the founders of the Practica system, Lizette van Heystien, about this. If you've missed it, don't despair, please. You can go on hifm.com to listen to the podcast and all of my podcasts. All of my shows are available as a podcast for you to go listen to. But Lizette, it was really so wonderful to have you on the show today. And it was really interesting to, like I said, learning and taking it a little bit more seriously when we talk about it. But before you go, please, can you just share with us where people can find you?
Yes, I'm going to ask them to please send me an email. And what I'll do then is to send them information about the rest, because we've talked about two of the eight functions of play. And the other ones are very, very important. You know, I obviously, because it's my passion, I want people to know about all of them. So if they send me an email, I will reply with a written article on all of them. And yeah, they use that as a reference then. So my email address is Lizette, L-I-Z-E-T-T-E.
Yes.
At Practica Program, P-R-A-C-T-I-C-A, like the word practical without the L. And then program, like the Americans write it, without the M-E at the end, P-R-O-G-R-A-M.coza. Lizette at practicaprogram.coza. And I will send them an information piece.
Yeah. You guys are also on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, where people can also follow the Practica program. Find more about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Thank you so much, Lizette, for joining me. It was wonderful having you.